Welcome to the Coast of Noise podcast.
Fishing, stone cold country by the grace of God. Well, I was gassing up the other day, and an old boy pulled up with a license plate from Ohio. Thought, oh good Lord, he's lost. Well, from his Wranglers to his boots, he reminded me of Chris LeDoux and that Copenhagen smile. Country must be countrywide. Well, every state, there's a station playing Cash, Hank, Willie, and Waylon, and foreign cars and four-wheel drives. Tell me how that sounds. There's cowboys and hillbillies from farm towns to big cities. There ain't no doubt in my mind the country must be countrywide. It ain't where, it's how you live. We weren't raised to take, but we were raised to give the shirt off our backs to anyone in need. We bow our heads before we eat, before we start our day, before we fall asleep, cause in God we trust and we believe. And we see what's wrong, and we know what's right. And old Hank, he said it all when he sang, country folks can't survive. That every state, there's a station playing Cash, Hank, Willie, and Waylon, and foreign cars and four-wheel drives. There's cowboys and hillbillies from farm towns to big cities. There ain't no doubt in my mind the country must be countrywide.
Bravo.
Thank you.
That's good stuff. So how long have you been playing? Let's start with that question there.
Probably, I've been playing off and on since I was about 12, and I didn't really start getting serious with it until I was my junior year in high school, so about 17. I was just off and on. I never learned how to play and sing at the same time until I was in my senior year of high school. So, I started getting real serious then, and really that's when I started, you know, wanting to do something with it and write my music, which I've been writing since I was 15 years old, just writing song, writing like kind of poetry kind of stuff, but mainly that, yeah.
What would you say your how would you describe playing style as?
Playing style.
Or a genre that you really find yourself drawn to, you know, that creatively you draw from the most?
I'd say country music mixed with a little rock and a little blues, right? I mean, that's three of my favorite kind of music just meshed into one. I mean, to me, it doesn't get any better than that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I try to stick close to those three genres as best I can when I do my writing and everything. But mm-hmm. anytime I cover a song, it's either more country than anything else, but I'll always have some kind of rock or blues mixed into it. That's basically, yeah.
Can't go wrong with any of those three, right?
No.
Right on.
You can't. You can't.
You want to take your guitar off, man? You can get comfortable.
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
How's it going, everybody? Is everyone hanging out? Having a good week? So let's talk a little bit about you played the D'Iberville Crawfish Festival last year, and you're gearing up for it this year. And So how was that with your experience with it there? Are you excited for it this year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Fast approach in May 3rd and what is it, May 3rd and May 4th? Is that it? Sounds right.
Yeah.
I got a calendar in front of me. So yeah, and you'll be on the 3rd, right? Is that, or do you know?
I don't know exactly what the schedule. Ben hasn't got back to me on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to getting back up on stage and doing it. I had a blast last year. I met a lot of real nice people. You know, had a lot of support come out and watch me. I think you made an appearance out there last year.
I did. I think I was actually just at home, like, relaxing, and I saw something on Facebook about it, and I was like, oh, yeah. So I shot down there, and I caught the last couple minutes of your set.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, dude. I can't wait to get out there and play a little bit.
Yeah, you're going out there this year, too.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing you out there.
Oh, yeah. I hope, I just hope that they can grow it to be something big, and that's what I really hope to be a part of, is them making it something that's their own thing. Because I don't know, I don't think D'Iberville's, they might have had a crawfish festival-esque thing, an event in the past or something like that, but I just hope this is something that they keep going and can make it something big.
Yep, I think that's what they're aiming for. You know, the whole charity aspect of it, and it's based off of that. You know, it's a real good program. You know, that they're helping out. And this year, I think going back to entertainment, I think Ben was telling me, don't hold me to it, but he was getting somebody pretty big out there this year. So I don't, but he. That's all that he told me. He never told me any specifics about it, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And then hopefully next year they'll be able to do something even bigger and better, you know, pull more talent to it and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was telling me last year they did pretty well in terms of the charity aspect, the Little Leaguing. Mm-hmm. What it's for people who don't know, it's for, like, Little Leaguers to get safety equipment and all that. So pretty good cause. And exciting to be a part of.
Got to keep the little one safe.
Yeah, man, it's dangerous.
I remember playing the Little League, man. It was always fun having to go get fitted for your pads, because you'd have to go underneath the press box, and they would have the room with all the helmets and the shoulder pads and knee pads and pants and stuff. And it was always just whose head fits in this helmet, and half the time they couldn't find one that fits your head, so they had to, you know, call somebody to bring one from home.
Yep.
So it's definitely a good purpose to it. So
yeah, you don't want to be a part of a little league that recycles cups or anything like that. They're just trying to figure it out as best as they can. You know, they mold tin cans I went to the Goodwill. I couldn't find anything, so I ate this can of olives.
Yeah.
Well, we need you out there, son.
Yeah,
baseball is going to be your life. I need you to be about this.
Yeah.
You strap on that tin cup, shave the edges, be careful. If anybody gives you shit out there, you just cut them. You've got a weapon.
Absolutely. You got the bat. You got your bat and your cleats. You know, just utilize what you have, son. Just utilize what you have.
Ooh, speaking of cool safety features, cool safety suits, NASA recently revealed the spacesuit, spacesuit of the future, and wants the public to pick which Z2 prototype gets to be built. So they're releasing to the public all these different designs that they're going to have. And then from that, the public, can you see it? The public is going to get to choose what they want. So there's those. So I guess we should pick two, like what our coolest choice is.
That one looks pretty bad right there.
Yeah, that one's called Biomecracy.
It looks like that dude off of Bioshock, the video game.
Oh, God, I wish they would do that. What a fantastic idea. Make everybody big daddies. Let's go down to the other ones here. Yeah, that one's kind of pretty cool. Then there's that one.
Looks like Tron.
Yep, yep. It's a Tron outfit.
Tron outfit.
We're giving y'all great visuals for what we're seeing right here.
I'm lost for words on that one. I can't think of anything to.
Teardrops.
Yeah, teardrops.
Because it's the weakest design of all of them. So NASA, you've got the vote. You've got the vote from us.
Yeah. I'm digging the BioShock.
Yeah. You didn't. They didn't. The vote we gave you actually isn't representative of any of the options you've presented us with, but you know the right thing to do. You're NASA. Gosh. We pay the tax money so that you can make video game creators and send them to Mars.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you can make it so that there's machine guns attached to one of their arms, I mean, that's all the better. But we're not gonna force you to do anything that you can't do within your means. But you can do that. Don't bullshit us.
Now, government bullshitting us? What?
Oh, no
it's
way.
Never been heard of ever.
No way. Kennedy's still alive.
Ever. Yeah.
He's on a Paradise Island with Tupac.
Tupac and Elvis.
Yep. You can't fool us, people.
We know.
NASA, ILC, Dover, and Philadelphia worked for the design for the Z2 suit. Used in Apollo and Shuttle, each spacesuit design has incorporated new innovations based on the demands of the mission. The Apollo spacesuit had to account for lunar dust, radiation, and provided astronauts with oxygen. The shuttle suits had to have improved glove design and individual components for better movement, and the ISS suits continue to improve movement and glove response and increase longevity of the suit. I think I'd rather watch Gravity than read the rest of this boring.
Gravity. I actually, I saw the, we were, me and my mom were on Netflix the other night watching, like, let's watch that movie. I was like, nah. Sandra Bullock floating around.
You see the trailer for it was like the worst. Like I went to the movies to see like Lord of the Rings or something like that. No, it had to be way before then. And it was just her like zoomed into her face, like breathing heavily and then just like saying, Houston. And then for like 15 seconds and then it just pans out and she's just like floating through space, like flipping over and over. I'm like, wow, I have seen the trailer for the worst movie ever. Like it's just her for an hour and a half. Just like,
I can't,
Houston.
I can't stand watching a movie that's in one place the whole time. I can't handle that.
And although space is huge, it's still just one place.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean,
you got to get some scene diversity.
You can't go down to the local bar in space, you know, and go see what's going on down there.
No, you can't.
So,
and not to be racist, but it's a little dark in space sometimes. You go there on certain days, and it's kind of dark. Do you have a top movie pick from this past year? Did you watch the Oscars or
Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, right on.
Wolf of Wall Street.
There it is.
Like there, other than the beautiful women that are constantly in it, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio did a heck of a job.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know how.
Jonah Hill too.
Yeah, Jonah Hill also.
Did they have to show Jonah Hill?
Nah, I don't know.
I saw that and I was like, how did they even get away with that? But then I've seen other movies where I'm like, oh, okay, well, that was nowhere near as bad.
Yeah, you know, and the bad thing about it, I was watching it with my folks, so.
I forgot that part of the story.
Yeah. It was awkward, you know, those times in life that you look back and like, I wish I would have known that was going to happen. I would have done that completely different. Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah.
Don't watch The Wolf of Wall Street with your parents.
Yeah. One of my friends who saw it, we all went and saw American Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, I'm excited for this, but I don't think it's going to hold up for Wolf of Wall Street. Like, that was my pick of the year. And he said, just don't go see it with your girlfriend, though, because it is a dude movie. And after I saw it, I was like, he was right.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is just 3 hours of dudes living at the top of their game, pretty much.
Yeah.
When the gay guy has the party when he's away from home, mm-hmm. and they're just like talking, trying to figure out where the money is, and the Asian guy just steps up and just
knocks him,
and then they almost throw him over the building, and Leonardo's like, yeah, they went a little crazy, so and
I had to call the cops.
Cops, but we just paid him $1,000, and then they beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, that, It was bad whenever when Leonardo DiCaprio's wife in the movie comes home and finds the party going on.
Yeah.
That
he's
that,
like, oh, is it Wednesday already?
Y'all get out of here.
Oh my God, the legendary scenes when he goes to the golf club to get on the payphone and they tell him that his phones are being tapped.
Yeah.
And he's trying to talk and he's like, blah, blah. And I was like, what did he just say? And the guy was like, what are you saying right now? Are you high right now?
Yeah.
And then he just falls out and then
he's on the lemons.
Yeah. And they all kick in. They had a time lapse, the shelf life that just, and he goes and like, he's like rolling on the ground and he's trying to get down the stairs. He's like, they make it look so easy. And then he's like, think, what can I do? He's like, oh, I've got it. And then he rolls.
He can
down.
Roll.
And then he gets and he tries. He's just his foot to open the car door that's a suicide door, and his foot gets caught in it. And he's like being dragged up. And then it shows him driving home. And then he's like, I drove home. So I've seen Jell-O move faster. And then like 10 minutes later, they show the repeat.
Yeah,
him, like,
he goes, I made it home. I made it home without a scratch on me or the car. Wakes up about an hour and a half later after, you know, saving Jonah Hill's life on the floor of his kitchen.
I didn't know how that scene was going to play out.
Nah, me neither. I thought he was done for. Then he's sitting there watching Popeye while he was high and
yeah.
takes the bump of coke and gets up like, oh, yeah, step aside.
Oh, man. I thought he was going to, I literally thought he was just going to choke him to death with the phone right there. He's like, I know what you did.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that whole scene is from that part to that part is just ridiculous. I love the part where before it starts, where he was like, I made sure that nothing was going to interrupt his night, and you can see like the enema box like right there.
Gross.
Yeah, I think I personally gave American Hustle my top pick until I saw Wolf of Wall Street, and I was like, man, it's so close.
Yeah.
Because American Hustle is very good, but I think Wolf of Wall Street may be it.
And if Jennifer Lawrence would have gotten naked in American Hustle, I think
it could have evened the odds a little
bit. Yeah, it could have evened the odds.
Could have helped out. Couldn't hurt.
No, not by any
means. I think
means.
She did get an Oscar for her performance, though.
Did she?
Her clothed performance. Oh. I think so. I don't know. I guess I should look that up before I...
Well, either way, I mean, she deserved one. Even if if she did or didn't, she deserved it. Because I love her. I love you, Jennifer.
Let's see. Maybe she didn't. Who knows? I don't see anything popping up on online that says.
I wasn't sure if she did or she didn't, because I saw they had this thing on the internet. It was like a picture of her like acting like she was stealing an Oscar from this one girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was funny.
Yeah.
I'd give her my Oscar if I had one.
Yeah. Takes forever to get one, and then if I gave my girl an Oscar, you're not. I don't know if you're going to be getting a ring on top of that. Unless you let me put it on a ring. But then that's your call if you're going to wear that.
Yeah.
I'd put it on a necklace.
Yeah.
What are you, crazy? You're trying to ruin your hand before we even get married? You have one good hand the rest of our marriage career?
She'd be real good with that hand, though. She'd be real good with it.
Yeah, because she uses it to keep it lift. The other one lifted to try to keep from crushing her stupid dumb fingers. She decided to put a giant statue on. I wonder if anyone's ever been beaten to death with an Oscar award.
I think who was it? It was some
you know somebody. This is great.
No, I don't necessarily.
My friend Jimmy got in this bar fight.
Yeah, we were down there at Henry's, and this guy out of nowhere pulls out his Oscar and just starts beating the hell out of everyone.
He bought it off of put insert actor here who sold it for coke money.
Yeah, pretty much. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Ooh.
Too soon. Too soon.
Great intro for the that blink there.
Yeah. But I don't think it was coke, it was heroin, I believe. It was a bad batch of heroin.
Yeah, it was Ace of Spades, which is a form of heroin that the officials say they hadn't seen in years.
Yeah.
Like since the 80s or something like that.
Can you imagine the guy who sold it to him? Like, well, Philip Seymour Hoffman's dead, and what's going through his head at that point? The dealer, like, crap.
Yeah.
I just did that.
Either that or he's like, hell yeah, I've got a serious slogan I can use now. I just brought my clientele up by like at least 12%.
I killed Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I got the shit that killed Seymour Hoffman. I got the shit that killed Whitney Houston.
Dude, I liked Philip Seymour Hoffman. He was good. He's great. Oh, actor. Yeah. He's a great actor.
Yeah. We talked about it on one podcast, kind of gave like an ode to Hoffman about all the cool movies he's been in.
Yeah.
I recently watched Moneyball again. He was pretty good in that.
Yeah.
And
Jonah Hill was good in that one too.
Yeah. Yeah. He gives like a very similar performance of a like a business associate sidekick sort of thing.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? I was talking about Hoffman. Sorry. No. I deserve this. Been talking about crushing wife's hands with. Speaking of crazy wives, let me tell you this story. A woman recently reported she had a phantom pregnancy with quintuplets. Now, when I first heard the title of that story, which comes from ABC News here, I thought, okay, immaculate conception.
Yeah.
Again. Not the case.
Really? You sure?
Story reads as such. A Canadian woman managed to convince her boyfriend and her town that she was pregnant with quintuplets for 34 weeks. It was only when Barbara Bienview, 37, went to the hospital to deliver the babies this month that doctors pulled her boyfriend aside to tell him she wasn't pregnant and never had been, according to CTV. And then, of course, her boyfriend was super upset and takes the interviewer through the nursery where, like, he's standing, like, awkwardly amongst all the baby cribs, the four baby cribs that are just hanging out with, like, all the baby stickers everywhere. And this dude just looks so sad in this picture. Like,
poor guy.
He's got one hand in his pocket and the other hand, he's like, what do I do with my hands? And he's just, you know, it's... I don't know. There's apparently a condition called pseudocyesis that is a rare disorder in which women experience all the symptoms of pregnancy but do not get pregnant.
It's just what you call crazy.
Could be. That what's worse is that when this was all going on, the couple like reached out for like donations and to ask like for help for all this, all the responsibility mm-hmm. that was gonna be dealt with.
Think they reimbursed everyone?
It does say that he actively tried to reimburse a bunch of people and like get the money back out to people. It says the spouse who also jilted the whole story has been reimbursing some of the associates.
Well, that's good.
One of the guys told ABC he is also very stunned right now. This woman is at the hospital undergoing psychiatric treatment. And we suspect some mental issues. Yeah. So
she might need that. Just might.
Yep.
I think I'm pregnant.
Yeah. I think I'm not going to give you an Oscar ring. That's what I'd say.
You will not be getting an Oscar ring. I'm sorry.
You may get an Oscar for your performance.
Yeah. You convinced everybody else. You had four babies inside you. Bought the crib. You know, took a lot of money from everyone. So, you got to be careful who you marry.
Yep.
You think when you start thinking you know people and you know next week you have no idea.
Yep. Then they have ghost babies. And you're like, wow.
Yeah. I feel bad for him because a lot of people, you know, it's hard. They want kids so bad and they can't have it. And then, you know, me personally, I'm not really I don't want a kid right anywhere in the near future or anything like that. I'd like to get through school first. But, yeah, there's a lot of people who really want kids who can't have them, and that's just that's a bad thing, you know? Because I think that's what a lot of married couples want, you know? Expressing your love for one another by having a kid, you know, it changes your life, and it's just a big deal for a lot of people, and not being able to do it, I can't imagine that feeling.
Mm-hmm. No. My niece, she's so distracting. It drives me crazy. Like, I just sit around just to be around her.
Yeah.
My days seem like they are so much shorter because I just, like, hide and seek and, like, reading books.
Yeah.
And just, like, other random things, which I totally enjoy. Yeah. But I'm like, man, I just spent an hour when I could have been working out or, like, reading, my book.
Yeah.
Like, not your book, my book.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, those are the times you're gonna look back and be so glad you did that. You know, when she gets older.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah. those are the times that you're gonna be glad you have, because those are times you know you won't be able to get back.
Well, what makes me think about is the idea of like having my own kid, mm-hmm. and like how much time, like I just spend the amount of time that I choose to spend with her.
Yeah.
And sometimes like
when you have your own, you have to.
Yeah, it's management.
Yeah.
And like I don't know, sometimes I just think, well, why not just support a bunch of nieces and nephews, like encourage my brothers and sister, my brother and sister, just, you know, you guys have as many as you can, and I'll be the best uncle in the world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, that seems like it'd be pretty cool. 'Cause at the end of that day, you get to go home.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to go home by yourself and go sleep in the bed by yourself.
Exactly.
Or if you have a girlfriend or whatever, but
yeah. You know. Yeah.
Look, there she is right there.
I know.
She's looking so through cute. The window. She's looking right there.
Oh.
She's cute.
Yeah. But yeah, men and women though, they run on such different clocks.
Yeah.
You know. men are ready to go up into their 40s if they want to, you know.
Yep.
If they're out jogging on the daily,
mm-hmm.
they're drinking their protein shakes,
mm-hmm.
they can manage. Girls, I don't even know. I don't even think they know. I don't think science has figured it out. That's why they're so, you know, crazy about, like, you know, their time frame or whatever.
You know, they have this book on what science knows about women, and it's about 5 or 6 inches thick. You open it up, every page is blank. Nothing's on there. Nothing.
Meanwhile, the book for men is just like one page dedicated to meat consumption, the other to like loggers, the other to sports,
and the other to women.
It's a very short book.
Oh yeah, it's actually if you can read up to a second grade reading level, you can know about men.
Exactly. Too true.
Yeah.
What
else we got interesting?
Did you hear anything about this? This landslide that happened in Washington recently?
Yeah, they were pulling. Apparently they had a couple people die. I mean, they were pulled. I think what was it?
14 dead and 176 missing.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
This is the first I heard about it today.
Yeah, I heard about it yesterday, and they were saying whenever I heard about it, they had only pulled, I think, 4 bodies out.
Wow,
dead all, but it's a shame.
Yeah, and if that many people are missing, then it's...
Yeah.
There's no telling.
And living down here, we don't know what that's like down here. I mean, we know what destruction's like, but not a mudslide. Mm-hmm. And we know we got hurricanes.
I mean, you saw what happened when we got snow. It wasn't even snow. It was just like some...
It was
some
a little...
bothersome ice.
It was frost. It was frost.
They're like, well, we'll just throw some sand on it. Like, no, I mean...
Yeah, you go on the interstate.
You need salt. Like, don't you have access to salt? I mean, I know sand's a plentiful, but...
Yeah. Yeah. When you're on the interstate, going over the overpasses and stuff like that, and you just see all the ruts on the side of the road from people not knowing that the bridge is going to freeze before the road does. And obviously, I mean, you can tell we don't know how to drive in snow down here. We just don't. It's, mm-hmm. it's not a strong suit for us. And you just go over the overpasses, and all you see was just... ruts and stuff off of both sides. It is terrible.
I would think that the protocol would just be like drive significantly slower or don't drive at all.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. So for the fact that, you know, saying that we don't know how to drive in snow, it's like, oh, well, we didn't have the common sense to slow down.
Yeah.
That should have been a no-brainer. We didn't need a news report on it.
Pretty much. It was good practice, you know? It was good practice.
For next century.
Next time, you know, that might happen. It's supposed to get cold in the next couple of days. It's going to get down to the 30s again.
Yep.
Yep. But I don't think it's going to snow. Hope to God it doesn't snow.
Better not. It snowed on my birthday one time.
Did it really?
In March. Yeah, when I was like 3 or something like that.
Dang.
So I guess March is capable.
I kid you not. It was, I think it was maybe 5, maybe 6 years ago. I was turkey hunting with my dad up in Yazoo County. And it was in April, and I sat down. It was snow everywhere. It snowed the night before, and I was sitting down in snow turkey hunting, and that's just unheard of. So, it's very possible. You know, anything's possible with Mother Nature.
That's the best time to hunt right there is when it's cold. Animals got to move around.
Absolutely.
They got to eat.
Absolutely.
Yep. But they, from what it says on this article, it says that they've pulled 14 out of 1 square mile of the slide. That's a pretty small area. swept through part of the area about 55 miles northeast of Seattle. Some people were critically injured, about 30 homes destroyed. Mm. The debris blocked about a mile stretch of state route 530. Situation is very grim, said the County Fire District 21 Chief Travis Hotz. We have not found anyone alive on this pile since Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds horrible. This sounds terrible, but I want to see what a mudslide like that, what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Just like the side of a mountain just coming off and just going down the hill.
Man, some of the pictures are pretty intense.
I saw on the news it was bad.
Yeah.
Bad, bad, bad. You know, I can, and people down here, they can say, oh, I want to see something like that because, you know, we've been through some pretty bad stuff, especially this part.
Mm-hmm.
So, Katrina, it was a mild storm, you know, a little thunderstorm that rolled through.
Yeah. What about this, the Malaysia flight, Flight 370? You've been following that a lot?
You know, I did at the beginning just because I was really intrigued that they can track my cell phone, but they can't find a plane that went down somewhere. And last time I heard, they had claimed that they, you know, concluded their search with it went down in the South Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they found the plane or anything like that. So
from what I looked up, they still haven't found anything. I mean, it was a very mysterious story at the get-go, but now it's kind of getting to the point. I mean, it's been what, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think. I don't think anything's going to come out of it.
That's insane. To me, that's insane that, you know, they cannot find a plane. I mean, like I said, they can track your cell phone wherever, but they can't track a giant plane.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just. But I'm sure there's a pile of factors that come along with that. You know,
mm-hmm.
something got shut off. Something was blocking some signal.
Well, you know, you heard the fact that they found two of the passengers used fake IDs to get on board, fake passports. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Ooh, that definitely raises some question.
Yeah.
Wow. Were they, were they Malaysian passengers or were they American passengers that were using fake passports? I mean, I don't know. Did they ever say?
Let's see. Flight 370 fake passports. That's a good question. You know, what nationality, where were they from?
Yeah.
I wonder if they have, of course, if all the information they have is on recorded is the fake stuff, mm-hmm. then who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
you got to have a picture and everything on there. So, I mean,
fears of a cover up of the fate of flight MH370 grew yesterday after claims that a photo of two passengers were tampered with. The image of the two men boarded the Malaysian Airlines jet was stolen. Passports appear to show them having the same set of legs. What? Images of two men who boarded the Malaysian Airlines jet with stolen passports appear to show them having the same set of legs. I don't understand what that means. Their feet and shadows are also in the same position, while their faces, T-shirts, and bags are different.
Same set of legs?
Spot the similarity. Okay, and then they have pictures of one of the guys from when they boarded, and it looks like the same person, almost identical. So maybe they switched off their passports. I just want to know what nationality. The men thought to be Iranian asylum seekers.
Yeah.
Asylum seekers?
Yeah, I mean,
have been named as Pora Nor Muhammad Madrid and 19 and 29-year-old Delavar Saeed Muhammad Dereza. Okay.
Muhammad's the most commonly used name in the English language, man. Super bad reference. also Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill, you're just a big part of the show today.
Yep. Hey, he didn't win Best Supporting Actor, so he deserves it right here.
I know.
Like, we matter a damn to him, Jonah Hill. Let me see. What else we got here? I got some music news that I came across.
Come on with it.
So, this is just some interesting stuff. I think like 2 days ago, did you... You know who Guar is?
He died. He died.
Yeah. So that was big news.
That guy, yeah.
And apparently he was the last of the original lineup, I think.
I never was a big fan of... I never really listened to that, but I listened to 97.9 a lot, and they had a lot about it on their radio station, so that's how I heard about it.
Yeah. I think they're described as like a satirical metal band or something like that.
Satirical?
Satirical.
What does that mean?
Like they do a lot of satire.
Okay.
Like if, gotcha. You know, like Family Guy is big on satire and stuff like that. So yeah, 50 years old, found dead in his Richmond home by his roommate. And I wish I could give more commentary on that, but I really don't know much about them, nor do I particularly care. It just happened, okay? So
just feel bad, people. Just feel bad.
Just throwing out there.
Was that?
You don't have to feel bad. If you don't care about him either, then it's like not a big deal. I'm just letting you know. It happened. Guar.
Guar. Did they ever have a determination of what killed him? Or was it just...
It was probably drugs.
No.
Probably?
Drugs and rock and roll. What? Come on, that's unheard of.
Guar death.
Guar. What does Guar stand for? Do we know?
God, what an awful racket. That's what it might be, but
God, what an awful racket.
Which
perfect. That's perfect.
Who knows? His heavy metal band formed in 1984, billing itself as Earth's only openly extraterrestrial rock band. Shut up. This is the reason why I don't care, really.
Extraterrestrial. E.T.
Yeah, they haven't released anything, but one of my relatives who's a fan said that he was the last lineup of the original, and I should have asked him, like, how did they, like, did the rest of them die or what happened? Because if he had said yes to that, I'd be like, psh, get these asses out of my face. Like, I don't give it, all these people doing drugs and doing these satirical, dark, crazy shows, squirting blood on people or whatever the hell they do in mosh pits. Get out of here. I don't want to listen to you.
They
might be awesome. I don't know.
Nah, I've never listened to them either. But no, I mean, bro. The aliens came and got him. That's what happened. E.T.
Maybe. Maybe he's chilling with Kennedy and Tupac.
And Elvis.
I keep forgetting about Elvis.
How could you forget about Elvis? I mean, he's from Mississippi. I mean, come on.
Speaking of people we can forget about soon, Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent?
It's funner to say Nugent. But no, seriously, I just mispronounced that by mistake. So I can't play that off now that I told you. Ted Nugent, he was recently paid $16,000 to not play a show in Texas.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's like we were talking earlier about being a starving artist and stuff like that. Ted Nugent is paid not to play.
Yeah.
So, he was supposed to play a 4th of July show in Longview, Texas. And due to Nugent's appearance with Goober National candidate Greg Abbott, the festival or the concert, whatever, said, you know, his political stances were not in line. They didn't send a good message or something like that. So we asked him not to do it. So they had to pay him half of his going rate.
Hey.
So Ted Nugent is making about $32,000 plus a show on average. So I love that I know his financial situation now.
He's somewhat. Are you a fan of Ted Nugent?
I like Stranglehold.
Yeah.
Great song.
He's a heck of a guitar player, dude.
Yeah, he is pretty dang good.
He is. And I love how he attacks the ignorant, some ignorant people that just like to run their mouth about stuff they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he jumps on top of them, you know, when they want a bad mouth. But I'm a fan of him. I'm a big hunter. He's a huge advocate of hunting and stuff like that.
I've seen his videos of him like shooting hogs from helicopters and stuff.
He does that. I want to do that one day too. I want to do that one day too. I'm not afraid to say it.
It makes it easier. It makes it seem more humane when you talk about population controls with animals from that. Like, because when it seems, I mean, when you're flying in a helicopter with a submachine gun and animals don't really stand a chance, pigs. I don't know if you know this. Pigs don't fly.
No, they don't.
They don't have camouflage. They can be dumb sometimes when they're in a panic. And,
running a straight line in the middle of an open field.
So when you get a classic rock star shooting at you from a helicopter, it looks pretty cruel. But I mean, I guess there are population control issues.
There really is. I mean, the amount of swine that is going around, like, especially in Texas. Texas is overrun with pigs. I mean, they pay people to kill these animals. I mean, they do. They pay them. And it's good because they don't just kill them and leave them there. They'll get the meat and bring it to, like, you know, hush programs, you know, feeding the needy and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, everybody sees them, like, there's a lot of activist groups like PETA and stuff like that that don't see that part of it. They just see the fact of, oh, you don't feel, it's not sympathy for the animals. And, you know, I love dogs. I love cats. I love, you know, domestic animals. But the animals that I can eat, I'll eat them.
Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, what wild animals are dying of old age in the wilderness? And are they curing AIDS? Are they doing research out there? Not really.
No.
I mean, they're eating or being eaten.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They want the animals to live in peace. And, you know, that's all good and everything. And, you know, there are people in this world that do hunt, that give people who do hunt a bad name. The ones that abide by the rules and abide by the laws, you know, they give them a bad name when they go out and shoot deer at night or, unlawful take of an animal that out of season. So it's a shame. But when PETA, there was this one thing I saw on Facebook. This one woman was on a news channel. I can't remember which one it was, probably Fox. But this PETA representative was on there with the news lady, and then a guy who's like NRA advocate, hunting, all that stuff. And this one girl had gotten attacked by a bear on a hunting trip, and the PETA woman is saying, oh, well, you should now, and the girl's in the hospital, like, almost dying from her wounds and stuff, and the woman's like, yeah, well, she should know how the bear feels now when the bear gets hunted. So, let me get this straight. This girl went on a hunt trip with her family, you know, it's not just about killing, it's bonding time with your family, all right? She gets attacked by a bear. She's almost dead, and you want everybody to feel sorry for the bear. You're saying the girl deserved to get attacked and almost killed by a bear. That's so stupid. It's ignorant to me whenever people when they do stuff like that.
Yeah, because you can't flip that around and be like, imagine if that girl had attacked that bear.
That's awesome.
Oh, no. She's going to paint its nails? Like, what torment?
Yeah, that's just terrible. But no, it aggravated me. But
you ever seen Grizzly Man?
Grizzly Man.
Yeah, it's a documentary about like this guy who goes out to like live with bears.
Is that the one that died, that got killed by the bear? Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
not the death part, but like the whole story is just super fascinating. Yeah. I actually thought you were going to bring up the PETA thing where they were like PETA was trying to protect crabs, and I don't mean the hard shell kind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, PETA had a thing on that for a while. That was what they were on for a while. So, you know, I don't know who's running the PETA organization, but they do have
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, so things are going to change for the better now.
That's insane.
I know.
I didn't know about that. That's crazy.
Speaking of eating animals and stuff like that, can I tell you something that's going to make you look at me differently, possibly?
Come on.
I don't know if you watch Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you watch the last episode, the newest one they did?
I did not.
There was a guy who brought in this new idea. The company's called Chipotle. Yeah, Chipotle. And this guy makes these protein bars, and, you know, they're super nutritious and, like, you know, all the natural and non-GMO and all the great stuff that people try to aspire to with, like, healthy alternatives. Mm-hmm. Except that the protein that his that's in his is, like, super sustainable protein. It's higher, the same or if not higher as beef. It's very eco-friendly.
Yeah.
And it's readily available and all this kind of stuff. And what he does is he harvests crickets and he grinds up crickets. And that is a super high dense protein and a good source of vitamin, minerals, things. And it goes back to this idea that so many cultures around the world eat bugs.
Yeah.
And he wants to be the first. And his company is the only company that has an FDA approval for the flour that he produces with these bugs. And at first all the sharks were like, whoa, you know, I don't think so. And a lot of them got out. And then Mark Cuban ended up kind of like chit chatting with him. And, then, what's his name? Robert Hershevek actually came back in because he's like, you know, I'm listening to you talk and I'm starting to realize like you actually have a pretty solid business. It's not about your protein bar. So it's about your flour.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy was talking about, well, I've thought about, you know, do I either continue as I'm doing or I could sell the flour to other companies who want, you know, it because I can make it super affordable and it's a great source and all this kind of stuff. So they both kind of came back in and started negotiating with him. And Mark Cuban ended up giving him like $2 or $2.50 for 15% or something like that.
Hmm.
So, and I think their intentions are very much to sell the flour, but after watching that, I decided I'm going to eat bugs now.
Look, if I tell you something, don't look at me different. I've eaten a cricket before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I've eaten a cricket. And also, I've eaten ants before, but that wasn't intentional. And you can relate with me on this one because where I ate ants was at Nativity back in the day.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a salad one day at school for lunch. And the bacon bits, I kind of poured in there. It wasn't bacon bits, it was ants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten some cereal just at the house, and it's been full of like ants and stuff. And I just thought it was I don't know, oats or something. I don't know, some dark oats, some seeds, some flaxseed or something like that. I didn't know. I ate half the bowl before I knew any different, so felt great the rest of the day.
Yeah, I mean, ants are a huge form of protein too. You know, insects, you know, they have a lot of protein in them.
It would have sucked though if I had gone to sleep that night and while I was just resting, like they climbed back up my throat and came out my nose.
That's terrible.
And yeah,
that's terrible. Mm-hmm. that's like a bad dream.
It is.
That's
exactly the dream I'll probably have tonight now that it's on my mind.
Thanks. Thanks.
But no, I think I don't know. I mean, I did research on it, and you know, I think it's a possibility. I mean, over 1,000 species of insects are eaten in over 80% of the world's nations. You got Latin America, you got Asia, you got Africa. It's very sustainable and nutrient dense. For every, like for caterpillars, for example, for every 100 grams of caterpillars, they have 53 grams of protein, 15% of fat, 7% of, or 17% of carbs. They have a higher proportion of protein and fat than beef and fish. So that, I mean, that's pretty impressive statistics right there.
Yeah.
Or facts, whether.
Yeah.
Many bugs are far richer in potassium and calcium and magnesium and zinc and phosphorus and iron.
Yeah.
Than a lot of other, you know, edible meats. Insects, you can convert 2 kilograms of feed into 1 kilogram of edible meat. So for like crickets, you know, you feed them 2 kilograms, you get a kilogram out of them. With beef, you still get 1 kilogram of edible meat out of them, but you have to give them 8 times as much feed
to
produce it. So, I mean, when you think, you also have to think of like, just imagine the space that it takes to farm a cricket farm or a cattle farm.
Yeah.
Think of the waste that the cattle produce, of the gases that go into the mm-hmm. earth, you know, the planet. Think of the shipping hassles associated with the cost and the gas and the fumes that those mm-hmm. large vehicles expel, you know, into the atmosphere. You combine that with the fact that beef's more expensive than crickets. Yeah. Crickets produce a lot more. Preparing them's not that difficult. You yeah. put them in a Ziploc bag, freeze them to slow their metabolism down. You boil them up. You can put them over olive oil and garlic. Now, you can grind them into flour. Make some cupcakes. I don't care what you do.
I just... eating, going to like Ruth's Chris, eating a ribeye just sounds a lot better than going in the backyard and getting a cricket. It probably it will cost you a hell of a lot less, but it's just, I mean, come on. Just think about it.
I'm going to be, I've already got a couple places locally that I'm planning on calling up on my next free day off, so.
Gosh.
We'll see.
I want you to take a video of that, please, and upload it to the site so we can all see that.
Oh boy. Well, I have a blog on the website, and I tend to do a lot of health food stuff recipes yeah. and that I just make at home and kind of put it up there because I'm like into the paleo thing, and I was a vegetarian for like 6 months one time, so I just kind of experiment with like yeah. different health alternative stuff. And the other day I made a paleo in mind, no wheat and gluten stuff. So I made a portobello mushroom burger, mm-hmm. And you just use portobello mushrooms instead of,
yeah.
you know, and you yeah. bake them in the oven and all this stuff. And then I got some ground beef and fried it up and all that. So I'll definitely make a bug recipe is what I'm getting at here. I'll put a recipe up for whatever I figure out to do, which I'll probably just do some simple garlic yeah. and herb sauces and balsamic vinegar, maybe make a salad.
Be sure to let me know how that goes for you.
Sure, I will.
Please. Please let me know how that goes for you.
For sure, I will do that.
But, yeah. You said you were only a vegetarian for 6 months. Was that like a personal, like you just didn't want to do it after 6 months anymore? You were just, okay, I want to go back to eating meat.
Yeah, it was a combination of things. I think I just started getting a lot of research in the paleo realm. Mm-hmm. So I started reading some books. I started researching online. The doctor who started it, I forgot his name. There's two guys. There's like the godfather of the paleo diet, and then there's one guy who's famous paleo books. Famous paleo. Because these guys deserve credit. All the time, whenever I do their shit. So, anywho, I read about that stuff and started seeing a lot of the arguments in terms of, you know, like we were talking about population control and just this idea that meat has been a major consumed product since, yeah. you know, our early days. Lauren Cordain is the guy, the godfather of mm-hmm. the paleo diet thing that... a lot of people, he kind of like started off in a lot of ways. Mark Sesson is a pretty cool guy. I started following him recently and go to his blog, and he's a paleo geared guy. He does Mark's Daily Apple is his website. And then there's another guy that I read. I can't remember who it is, and I don't see his book anywhere here. I'm sure I'll find it in a second. But then another thing was like, I have a really fast metabolism mm-hmm. and I've always been a pretty lean guy, and I was just getting like even more lean as a result of it, which is not what I wanted, because I've always been a person who like wants to bulk up a few more pounds. So I just decided to also as part of the experiment, going back in and seeing how my body reacted to it, which it did take, you know, some small adjustments in here and there. But not near as what it's been for getting rid of, and then sometimes as an experiment, reintroducing wheat yeah. and beans. Twice recently, like in the past month, I had my relatives made a big thing of beans, just bean soup.
Yeah.
Ate it. It like killed me. I was like for hours, I was just like, I just didn't feel good. Yeah. I didn't feel... Yeah. It didn't make me sick or anything. I just felt yeah. like weighed down and like, you know, all this. And then I recently had some Mexican lasagna, mm-hmm. which is tortilla breads
yeah.
with, you know, there's beans and corn, and I don't eat a lot of corn because corn is like hugely genetically modified nowadays, and Monsanto has like wrecked the game with that, not in a good way. Not in the Drake kind of way, but
the Drake kind of way.
That was the first guy that I thought of who would be like, "I'm wrecking the game," so I used his name. There you go. You're right up there with Jonah Hill now. That stuff, it tasted great, but afterwards I was just like, I was out trying to run and I couldn't run. It was more like a brisk walk.
It's a brisk. That's all I ever do nowadays. If that, God, yeah. I'm so out of shape.
I've been trying to get back into running lately, but like, it's like, it was either cold and now it's like the weather, the pollen and everything. Yeah. So it's just real tough. And I was real sick last week. So I'm just trying to introduce it. Yesterday I went and did some interval training on a walking track.
It's still a little chilly outside with the wind and everything. It's terrible, man. I can't catch a break, you know, with the pollen and everything. I'm already horribly blessed with, you know, sinus infections on the rig. Yeah. And all what's going on right now is just concocting one real big one, because I haven't had one yet. And just concocting one real big one coming up soon. Mm-hmm. So I'm just looking forward to that. I'll be going to get a shot in my ass to get over that. Just be ready for it. Yeah.
Rob Wolf was the other guy, the other paleo guy, the other author.
I got you.
But yeah. So after all the adjustments I've made so far, I don't see any reason why I shouldn't eat bugs.
Yeah, bugs.
Give it a shot.
Yeah, and come
worst,
on.
Worst case scenario, I won't do that again.
Worst case scenario. Yeah, and then, you know, something cool you can say, you know, you're going to try and pick up a chick at the bar, you're like, you know what? I got this real good way, you know. I can get protein any other way that you ever known, you know. What's that? I eat crickets.
I know how I can get you a lot of protein fast. Be like, all right, this just got super sexual, like, way too quickly, dude. I don't know how you pick up. No. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say I want to feed you caterpillars. All right, get the hell away from me.
I see it going much different than that, you know? These women nowadays, they're getting pretty open-minded, you know? They're getting real open-minded.
I just think that's a crazy business model to take, you know. I mean, I'd be all for it if they could, because I've looked at, I mean, you can go to Chipotle.com and see all their stuff, you know, the Coca bars and the Thai bars and whatever else they got. I mean, they look pretty good stuff. I was thinking about ordering a sample pack just to give it a try, but I was like, you know what? I mean, that's such a pansy move. I should just eat the damn bugs, like, straight up. Like, if I can eat the bugs, then for sure I can eat the, I don't need to waste my time with a sample pack. I can just order directly and just get, you know, good stuff.
One of my friends just went to, can't remember what country it was, but they ate, it was a cricket on something. I can't remember what it was, either a biscuit or, and on a sucker or something. I don't know. I can't remember. I mean, I know there's all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, heck, there was this one sucker with like a scorpion in it. And I was like, what? What are you doing? Like, well, who would buy like a sucker with a scorpion in it? Unless to just show people. I wouldn't eat that. But anyways, I saw that they were eating.
It seems like a trick. Like, hey, you want some sweet stuff? It's sweet all the way to the very end. But then there's a bug. But I promise, the majority of it's super sweet. It's like, you wouldn't give that to your child for like to get a shot or anything.
Jeez. But I don't understand how people that have the business of making those suckers with the scorpion or the cricket or the caterpillar or the centipede or something in it, you know, that's just, how do you get funding? Like, seriously.
We're not in it for the profit, bro. We're just trying to do what we love.
We really just made these behind that dumpster over there. We just made it, I promise. Fresh.
That's why it's extra sticky. You got a call you need to take?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Go ahead. I'm just going to ramble here for a little bit. Or do you need to leave? You need to take off?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Let me see. All right, people. What can we talk to you about right now? It's not a lot. You know what? We're just going to take a break. we're gonna come back to it because I don't like talking to myself. You know, I know I'm talking to you, but not really. So we'll be back. You want to wrap it up or? Yeah. Okay. I'm just right there.
That's one thing. Whenever you're dealing with my father, it is very spur of the moment things, and whenever it needs to get done, it needs to get done.
Hey, everybody's on a schedule, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of schedule, where can people go to keep track of you? And you know, Crawfish Festival's coming up May 3rd. Put that down on your schedule.
If you want to get information on anything that I'm doing music wise, you can go to facebook.com/LenBentz, LenBentz. That's where I keep, that's where I have all my updates on my music. I post videos constantly. Anything that goes on with me and my music, I always have it on the internet, just trying to get my name out there. So if anybody's interested, go check me out.
Right on. You got anything else coming up? Any shows or festivals or concerts or anything that you're doing?
Next week, actually, on the 4th, I am playing at the, I think it is the C4C. It's a benefit deal. I think they're having like a battle of the bands there, and I got signed up for it with me and my partner, and we're gonna be playing. I think it was, it's sometime after 6 o'clock. I can't remember though exactly. But
you'll post updates or anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, yeah, on my Facebook page. So, yeah.
All right, everybody. That's it for the show. CoastalNoise.com. Go to the podcast page. Hear all the other podcasts we've done. We just did one with the guys from Crest Live. So go check that out and see. This is a cool multi-purpose entertainment facility that's going to have every kind of genre. They plan to do 120 to 150 shows a year. And, you know, art, possibly comedy and like art galleries. And I think they're going to have a American Music Heritage Museum in there. And, you know, it's we have a great time just sitting around talking to them and getting to know what the business is going to be. It's a pretty short podcast, one of the shorter ones we've done. It's about 40 minutes long or something like that. So very manageable to listen to. So go check it out. It's pretty in line to what we've talked about here in terms of entertainment on the coast and all that good stuff. And they're really cool guys. And hopefully we'll get a chance to sit down and have another talk with them real soon. So go do that and stay up to date on the music page, where I'll keep you posted if the dates change for the times playing for the Crawfish Festival. You can listen to some tracks to give yourself a little idea of what's going to go on. Social media, Twitter, all that good stuff. Till next time, goodbye.
Awesome. That was fun, dude.